It's good to see you all here today, and to all of the fathers in the audience, happy Father's Day to you. We're going to resume our study in 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to pick up on verse number 7. In a little bit of a way of review, we started looking at the prophet Elijah on last week. We talked about a couple of things, and some of those things we're going to continue to look at those themes throughout this lesson today, namely that life is made possible by God, and God is in control indeed of all life. And the word of the Lord is spoken by a prophet is very important. We talked about that. You know, we know that this is a word from the Lord. We need to take heed to it, just as Elijah took heed to it. So in our story, Elijah kind of got up to the place where he had spoken to the king, and he told the king that it was not going to rain until the Lord, God, commanded it to rain again. And then God sent him away into hiding, essentially, where he was provided for by God through, you know, ravens bringing him two meals a day. And God had stationed him by this brook where he had fresh water. And so we talked a little bit about the fact that during this time, it was kind of like a time of solitude where it was just him and God. God had set things in motion, utilizing Elijah. But then he just kind of pulled Elijah back from the scene. So in other words, you know, Elijah, he was not actually doing anything at this point in time, but God was continuing to work. And we kind of touched on, we'll talk a little bit more today about how we handle those times where, you know, we have to kind of be still and rely on God, and whether we should be growing closer to God during those times. And we'll take a look at a couple of instances in Scripture where we see that others, like Jesus, did have some time alone with God prior to launching out into, you know, his ministry. So there are a number of things that we're going to kind of touch on today. The objective of today's lesson is to see how God shows himself to be the Lord of life in all things. We're going to cover, if we do okay with our time, verse 7 through 24. And we'll see that God has power over forces of nature, and even over death itself. Actually, we're going to read in this account where we see the very first resurrection from the dead as well. So let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll go right into the reading of the scripture. Will you pray with me? Father God in heaven, we approach your throne. We thank you so much for this day that you've given to us, for the word that you have given to us to study. Lord, we pray that you will allow us to read, understand, and encourage one another through the study of your word. Help us to be better equipped after this study to do those things that you've called us to do, that you expect of us, that we might fulfill what your plan in our lives are. We love you, Father, and we thank you so much for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So let's begin with reading 1 Kings chapter 17. And we'll read verse 7 through 9. And the Bible reads, "And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you.' So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, 'Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink.'" Okay, so even though God has been providing for Elijah miraculously with the ravens, stationed them there. And again, they were bringing them two meals a day. Just what God said happened through the prophet Elijah was beginning to happen. The drought occurred. We talked about the fact that this brook by Cherith was probably about the deepest ones that was in the region, and that was likely why God sent them there, because he knew that it would, you know, have water for a period of time. But even that began to dry up. So when that dried up, it was time for Elijah to move on. Now, he didn't know that it was time to move on until he received a word from the Lord. So God talked to him and told him, okay, this is what I want you to do next. So here's the first question. Elijah was there, and the natural provisions of water dried up. Do you think that God had to send him somewhere else? Or would it have been possible for God to provide some other means of him to get water while being right there? Any thoughts about that? All things are possible with God. Who would have thought that, the carnivorous, omnivorous birds, ravens, would provide him with food on a daily basis, twice a day? Well, nobody would have thought that would have been possible, but all things are possible with God. So God could have had water spring up from a rock. That ring a bell? You know, it's not like he hadn't done that before. But that wasn't the point. So it was obviously in God's mind time for Elijah to kind of move on. And one of the things that we're going to note here is that where he was sending him to and who he was sending him to was, you know, probably even a more unlikely place for him to go to be provided for than being over here in the wilderness by a brook. And the point Neil was making was that, you know, it's quite possible that God was putting Elijah through these various steps so that Elijah would have an appreciation for who is taking care of him and how sometimes we can begin to take things for granted. Anybody in here get to the place where they take stuff for granted sometimes? Probably more often than we should. Particularly, you know, in situations where God has gifted you with some talent and some ability and so on and so forth, and you can use those talents and abilities to kind of carve your way and to do things and to provide for yourselves and things of that nature, we have to always remember that we're nothing without God and that it is all due to God that we have, that we move, that we breathe, that we live. And so that may well have been something that God was trying to help Elijah with. And the thing, too, to be mindful of is this period of solitude that Elijah found himself in. He was there essentially alone. It was just him and God and the ravens, of course, right? And so when we find ourselves feeling or seeming alone, we know, number one, that God is never going to abandon us. He's told us in his word, and he's promised us that I will never what, leave you or forsake you. Now, with that understood, you know, we can turn our backs on God and walk away from God, but, you know, when we are trying to do what God wants us to do, we're trying to live our lives according to his will, we don't ever have to worry about being alone, even though we find ourselves in some instances where we're looking around at our immediate vicinity, and we're just that, you know, kind of all by ourselves. Well, God is never going to leave us. And so, in those instances, in those situations, we need to take time to appreciate God, to draw closer to God, to commune with God, and to do what we can to be tuned in to what God's will is for our life. So, in this instance, we had Elijah, and he had this period of time. I'm not quite sure the scripture tells us how long he was actually there by himself, but now God was moving him from a place to where he was kind of in complete solitude to now he's going out essentially into public ministry. He's going to be back among people again. So the word of God comes to Elijah, and it sounds like, based on what the scripture says here, but we don't know for sure, that this might have been the first time that, you know, God spoke to Elijah since the last time he spoke to Elijah and gave him instructions in terms of where to go. I don't know. But we do know that God spoke to him and God told him that he needed to go to Sidon, to the country that Jezebel is actually from, to receive help from what will turn out to be the poorest of the poor. Told him to go and find a widow. Who can tell us anything about widows of this particular time? What were widows known for? For being what? Poor, destitute, right? And it's odd, not necessarily odd, but in some countries today, not quite so sure, doesn't apply in some regards to this country, but in a lot of countries today, particularly over in the Middle Eastern part of the world, you know, I saw a documentary or two where, you know, women have it pretty tough in terms of being widows if they don't have a husband. You know, it's really difficult for them to manage and to live because of the way their society is set up. In here, you know, and biblically speaking, the widows are always named among kind of the most destitute people. And we'll find that this is certainly the case with Elijah. So God tells him to do two things that will seemingly be counterintuitive. Number one was to go to Zarephath and Sidon, and we'll talk a little bit about why that might seem to be strange. And number two, that he would go to a widow and the widow would provide for him. You know, that just kind of, again, would seem to be strange. In terms of Zarephath, it was a Phoenician commercial capital, and it was known for exporting various goods, grains, oil, wine, and things of that nature. Zarephath was between Tyre and Sidon, and it was ruled by Jezebel's father in the middle of the land that worshiped Baal. So this was Baal country, okay? So most of the people that were here in this particular region were worshipers of the god Baal. And yet even Zarephath, the home of Baal, the storm god, is under a severe drought. Now, we talked a little bit last Sunday and Brother McCoy, the Sunday before that, a little bit about Baal. He was the god of rain, the god of storms, the god of life and death, right? And so, although he was supposedly the god of rain, you know, his little territory, and by the way, in these regions, each region kind of had its own god, right? So if you lived in this particular area, it was known for worshiping this particular god, and it was kind of sectioned off that way. That wasn't anything that was odd. A lot of different idol worship was going on in this particular region at this particular time. But Baal was this god that was supposed to be the god over life, death, and of rain. And yet, in this area that primarily worshiped him, there was a severe drought going on. Now, we all know and recognize why it was a drought. It's because God said there was going to be a drought, and the prophet Elijah shared that with the king, and here it is. It's come to pass, and they're feeling the effects of this particular drought. So, here's a question. God is sending Elijah right in the heart of enemy territory. They would have believed that the God of heaven, Yahweh, Jehovah, didn't have any power over anything because that was their belief system, and that Baal had all the power. So why is it, do you think, that God would have sent Elijah, his prophet, right into the heart of enemy territory. Any thoughts? Well, that's where his work needed to be. And listen to this. God was out to demonstrate something, right? God was out to prove something. One thing that we know about God, and I hope this doesn't come out the wrong way, but, you know, when you look back to Pharaoh, right? Pharaoh had propped himself up to be God. And God was like, okay, we'll see. And, you know, here we go again. You know, they had all this Baal worship, and Baal was the god of life and the god of water and the god of... And so God sent his little prophet right into the heart of enemy territory. He said, we'll see. So, you know, God is not a God that shirks away from a challenge, we'll say, right? But then again, when you are God Almighty, you certainly don't have anything to worry about. Now, the fact that, again, we talked about that he was going to be provided for by this widow, that was also something pretty different as well. Now, what does Elijah do when he gets this word or receives this word from God? Well, let's first read 1 Kings 17 and 10, verses 10. And the Bible says, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow was there gathering sticks. So when God told him to go to Zarephath, what did he do? Got up and went, right? And that's something that we ought to really think long and hard about as well. When we know that God has something for us to do, there's no time to deliberate, you know, to sit there and figure anything out. If God said to do it, and you know that God said to do it, what's left to do but to do it? There are other examples in the Bible. Can anybody think of another example in the Bible where God said to do something and somebody just took off running? Jonah? Well, Jonah kind of ran the other direction. Okay, Abraham. Okay. And I was thinking of, now I can't think of who it is in the New Testament. He ran and joined himself to the chariot. Philip, right? Yeah. Philip got up and just ran. So the point is, when God tells us to do something, to move, we have to have enough faith in God and in his word to know that it's time to do it. It's time to go. Because, again, the scripture tells us over and over again in many places that God is going to provide for us. If God is with us, who can stand against us? And so we need to have the same kind of faith in God that we see that Elijah has here. So how do you think Elijah was able to recognize God's voice? Sorry, let me say that again. He communed with him, so he knew his voice. So he was a prophet of God. And remember, he was just coming off of some period of time in the wilderness, so to speak, where it was essentially just him and God. How do we know when God is talking to us? Now, let me help you out with this. Lest some folks get uncomfortable. And I know that everybody has had this experience. And I want a show of hands if you've had this experience. You're in a line somewhere. You're out somewhere, and there's this person that's kind of right next to you or whatever, and something is saying, talk to that person. Or you're talking to that person, and something is saying, say something about Jesus. Invite them to church. Has anybody ever had that experience before? Nobody? Just me? I mean, a show of hands. Okay. And just a few people raised their hands, so maybe my assumption is wrong. But that happens to me, you know, it's happened to me quite a bit. And when I hear that still voice, when something in me is telling me this is an opportunity to share, then hopefully most times I'm going to act on that. All the times I don't. And sometimes you feel like I have a missed opportunity. And so how do we know that is what we need to do? Well, we have read in God's word that it's our responsibility as a Christian to do what? To evangelize, to take the message of God to the entire world. You know, the Great Commission. We all are very familiar with that. So it's not as though this is something that, you know, is raining down miraculously, and whether or not your faith ascribes that to the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, the Word of God that you've studied that is in you, or, you know, the God himself, you know, talking to you through his word, you know, we all need to be ready to move when God says to move. When we know that what it is that we're being, you know, pushed and moved or communicated to do is what God would have us to do, what are we waiting for? We've got to move. Was there a comment over here? Anybody have any thoughts? Yes.
Now,
okay. And Carol says he speaks to us through the word. Does the Bible tell us that the word is a living word? What exactly does that mean? Says it's pertinent today, as it always has been. Sister Carol. That's true. So to the point, if God, through his word, is at that moment bringing to your attention something that you weren't thinking about previously, or all of a sudden you have this, call it whatever you want to say, okay, I know I need to do this, is not that God telling us what to do? And this isn't that still voice in the night where he's talking to just you and giving you a special message that nobody else has ever heard or had. But if God's word is in you, if God is, if you are walking with God, then I believe that his word, that God is able to and does encourage us and speak to us. Again, not through some miraculous, as though I have never read and understood God's word, but if it's in you, it's in you, and it's going to be there. And you can't separate. Appreciate that. And here's the point, the thing that our brother just mentioned. When you go back to Elijah, and he mentioned Mary and Jesus and the time that they spent together, and she knew his voice. Elijah knew the voice of God. The way that they recognized those voices is because they spent what? Time together, communicating together. And so, how is it that we know the voice of God? The same way. Spending time with God's word. Communicating with God's word. Understanding what God's word says. And so that is how we know and are able to recognize the word and the voice of God. And that is how you know. Neil, you had something? Everybody get that? So, just like Elijah, we have to be attentive to God's word. And here's the most important thing. When we recognize that God is directing our paths, we need to follow what God says do. when God says to do it, opposed to putting things off for a later date. Now, let's read 1 Kings 17, 10 through 16. And the Bible reads, and we'll pick up the second sentence there. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and prepare it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me of it a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and afterwards make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not be used up, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he in her house did eat for many days. And the barrel of meal was not used up, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah spoke. So what do you think the widow thought when first approached by Elijah and he told her, you know, what he wanted her to do? What was likely her first thought? Because, say again, you're out of your mind, you know? She was at a place where, you know, she was going to prepare one last meal, and she was going to prepare to go in with her son, eat it, and die. And here you have this prophet, this man, comes to her and tells her, "Listen, you go and you make mine first, and then you prepare something for yourself and your son." To her credit, did she do it? Now, I want you to think about this. Here is a woman who was not an Israelite, was not a follower of God, was likely a worshiper of Baal, because that's the region that she was in. And she took it at the word of this man who claimed to be giving her a message from the Lord to sacrifice her last meal for him. So this deals with a couple of things. Number one, it deals with sacrificial giving, right? And it also deals with obedience. And for this woman who didn't share the same faith that Elijah had, for her to step out on faith and be obedient to him, because by no means did he, you know, threaten her or make her do it. She willingly did this. I won't talk too much about her, although it's a really good example, but what about us? What about us in terms of our willingness to be obedient to God's word, even when it's something that's challenging to us, or frankly, something that we might not even want to do, or if it's sacrificial in nature? How do we handle that? How do we deal with that? How do we respond to that? Yes. So it all comes back to, as far as we're concerned, making sure that we are in tune with God's word, making sure that we understand God's word, making sure that we are not only understanding, but abiding by. Because then it makes it a little easier to do those things that might be difficult or challenging for us. And it must have been pretty difficult for her to make that leap. But then again, maybe not. She knew she only had one meal left, so here was some hope or promise of, you know, an extended opportunity. And so when you think about it in that regard, you know, we think too about God's promises. So, you know, we know that he is going to fulfill his promises to us, and he has promised us, not that our motivation should be solely based on, you know, we get heaven if we do this, but guess what? We get heaven if we follow, right? And so we can't overlook that as well. Was there a question? Did you have a comment? Yeah. And that's possible. And, you know, I looked at that and, like I said, it didn't go beyond that. But whether or not God prepared her, as that seems to suggest, or she just simply, you know, heard this word from this prophet and understood, you know, because later on she's going to say that you truly are from God. Because she had some recognition of what it meant to be a prophet, you know, and we looked at that last week. If what the prophet says comes true, then we know that you are a prophet. And so it's a good observation. Yes, Dave. Couple things too. Did you have a hand? Yes. And thank you for that. And the point was that it's not just about us, but God prepares, you know, let's take a step back, to us. God prepared us to hear his word. You know, when we heard it, that last time we heard it before we obeyed it, you know, we were at a place where we were receptive to it. And so the point was that, just as though, you know, God is working with us and through us, he's working with other people too, just like in the case of the widow here, to where when the word of God came to her, she was ready to receive it. And tie that in with what Elijah's responsibility was. He moved when God said move, so it all kind of worked together. And that's one of the couple of points we want to make here. Elijah, he never spoke from, you know, himself. It was always, you know, this is a word from who? From God, the God of heaven, Yahweh, Jehovah. And when he talked to Ahab, that's how he approached Ahab. When he's talking to the widow here, he made clear that, you know, the word that he had was from the God of heaven, not from, you know, just himself. And so in terms of us as Christians today being prepared and being ready to move forward when God tells us to move and we know we need to act, we need to do that because God has already, you know, set things in motion. All of everything that we're involved in, you know, it's God's will. God is in control of everything that goes on. And so we just have to be ready to do our part to make sure that God's will is being fulfilled. Yes. And she said that God, it said that he prepared her, commanded her, so that's what it says. And I'm good with that. And so, with that, right, everybody still has a what? A will or a choice to obey or not to obey. And in this case, everybody was on the same page and were obedient to the will of God. So, her plans for that day, again, were to make a meal and go in, eat it, and die with her son. But we know that through obedience in her faith and in the faith of Elijah, how that story turned out. Sometimes we have trouble obeying God, even though we know with certainty that he fulfills promises. And that's something I think that, you know, we all just need to continue to work on. I don't know, in the case of this widow, how certain she was that God's word was going to come to pass. Because, again, she wasn't a believer of God. She wasn't a worshiper of God. But we know with a certainty that God isn't slack concerning his promises, right? If God has said it, that's a sure thing. And yet sometimes we can have a little bit of difficulty or trouble in fulfilling what is it we know we ought to do for a lot of different reasons. And so, you know, that's just a point that we can continue to work on as Christians. So we have just a couple minutes left. And so let me end by tying this up. We do not have any knowledge of God without the study of God's word. When we study God's word, when we do what David did, when we hide his word in our heart, it's in there. When we meditate on his word day and night, it's in there. When we encourage one another and ourselves through the study of God's word, it's in there. When we allow God, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God to dwell in us, as the Scripture teaches it does, then we have an obligation, we have the privilege, we have the ability to hear and then be obedient to God's Word. All right, so don't want anybody to walk away confused about whether or not there is some sort of miraculous inundation of God's word without us first opening God's word, to study God's word. But as that living word dwells in us, then it is just that. It is the living word of God. And God is able to, through his word that dwells in us, through him who makes a habitation with us, through the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, we're able to hear and receive, and hopefully, and this is where our part comes in, act on what God has instructed us to do. All right. Next week, we'll pick up where we left off, and we'll examine some more about Elijah. Thanks so much for your kind attention today.